Hey guys, I wanted to just share something with you, and it's just going to be me talking, and it feels super wacky to do that, but I feel like God just gave me something to share, and I'm going to do it because I like to not directly disobey him. It doesn't usually go well. So this morning I was reading in Philemon, I don't know how to say it. I looked it up even, and YouTube had a lot of different, I don't know how to say it. So you understand what I mean. It's the one right before Hebrews. Philemon, Philemon, whatever. So I was reading that. I'm in this class at my church where they teach you like what your times with the Lord could look like and how to do it in a way that is effective. And, you know, you learn a bunch and actually do it for the right reasons and blah, blah, blah. So you have to read a little bit every day, which obviously, I mean, I usually do it, but it's more like hodgepodge. And this makes it more logical to where you're like actually like get something out of it. So anyway, it's been amazing. Well, today I got to tell you, honestly, I picked this Philemon just because it was one chapter. I'm like, okay, I got enough time for that. I get a whole entire book done, which is amazing because the whole book's one chapter. I can do that. So I opened it up and I didn't expect to be so amazed at what I found. So I want to share this with you because I feel like it really resonated with me and my parenting. Okay. It's written by Paul. He's in prison and he is writing to this guy, Philemon. Philemon was a wealthy guy. He had slaves and he met Paul and became a Christian. So that's how he came to know the Lord, was through Paul. So Paul's in prison in Rome, and Paul meets this guy named Onesimus. And Onesimus was one of Philemon's slaves. And so I'm just going to read what it says. In verse 4, Paul's telling Philemon, I hear that you love people and that you have so much faith in God, and it's really refreshing everybody. All the other believers are being refreshed. You're doing a great job, Philemon. So that's how he starts it. And then he says, so I know this guy named Onesimus. You know him too. He was your slave, but he stole stuff from you. He doesn't say all this. This is what my study Bible says. Onesimus stole a bunch of stuff from Philemon and then ran away. So Onesimus made some poor choices and then went to Rome to hide out because Rome's a big place, right? Well, wouldn't you know, the Lord is pretty good at connecting people. He made Onesimus and Paul like cross paths. And then Onesimus comes to know the Lord from Paul as well. So now we have two people, a slave and a slave owner, who have a broken relationship. And Paul meets them both. They both come to know the Lord. And so he's writing to Philemon to tell him, hey, like, I'm asking you to welcome back Onesimus. And what he says, the way he starts it, verse 8, even though I'm bold enough in Christ to command you to do this, for love's sake, I prefer to appeal to you to take Onesimus back. And that just immediately God spoke to me about how in my parenting, I think we all can either be the bold commanders or the like only ever appealers, but I am definitely the commander. Like, I want everybody to listen to me all the time, and boldness is not a problem for me. But to appeal to my children, and I'm not saying like, I appeal to you, please eat some vegetables, just one this week. Like, no, not like that. There's just some things that don't have to be commands that I could appeal for the sake of love with my kids. And so for me, that just kind of spoke to me that, oh, okay, so appealing is still effective and it is loving because they don't always have to do everything we say. And I am mainly talking to myself here because I want them to listen all the time, but it's just not real life. So that spoke to me, verse 9, like, for love's sake, I prefer to appeal to you. But then he says, I'm appealing to you to take back Onesimus. Verse 11, formerly he was useless to you, but now he is indeed useful to you and to me. I feel like sometimes when our kids or our spouse or our friends or even ourselves, when we keep messing up in the same way, we just get over it. You know, we're like, you are this thing. You are this poor behavior and you're never going to change. And we forget that people can change, especially when they come to know the Lord. God changes things. God restores people. God restores stories and broken places. He fixes it all the way. And so that was also encouraging to me because sometimes I get in these ruts with my kids and I think, oh, you're always this way. This is the way you are. This is who you are. And that is a lie. So Onesimus was useless. And now he's useful. The other thing that God spoke to me, I just felt like, oh man, may it never be that I am found to be useless to the Lord, you know? And I think it's easy to get distracted and just become useless. So that's my prayer, is that I would not be useless to the Lord. Anyway, so he goes on to, and I love that Paul does this as well. Onesimus is really helping Paul out in prison. I don't know what prison looks like, that you can just have people coming in and out. He was probably at his house in prison. I know he did that sometimes. I'm not a Bible scholar, you guys. But so Paul selflessly, because he wants that relationship between Philemon and Onesimus to be restored, he sends Onesimus back. Even though it would have been really pretty handy to have him around, he sends him back because he's thinking of these two brothers, Philemon and Onesimus. He wants them, brothers in Christ, he wants them to be reunited and have there to be forgiveness and restoration in that relationship. And he even said, like, I want you to receive him the way you'd receive me. Don't receive him as a slave and just say, yeah, I welcome back to be my slave. He's saying, you receive him like a brother. Anything he owes, I will pay it. Paul ain't got no money, but he's willing to do what he needs to do to make that relationship right again. And again, like, what an amazing example, and how convicting that he is. Not even just physically, he doesn't have the help that he would have with this guy around, but he's also willing to not only be inconvenienced, but also pay money to restore a relationship. And we have to remember, homeboy's writing this from jail. I think if I was in jail, I would not be as concerned about other people's relationships. I would be concerned about digging myself a tunnel and seeing if I could get out of jail. You know what I mean? So I'm not the same as Paul. I think we can all know that from this short interaction. I think sometimes we're not even willing to send a text message to restore a relationship, you know? So that was really convicting to me. So I think, I mean, I just can't help but end this with some strategies to struggle well. So I'm just doing it. I can't help myself. What can we do based on this? The first couple verses, he's just encouraging a brother that he sees, encouraging other brothers. He says, the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you. So maybe you can refresh some saints' hearts. Send some text messages. Do something sweet for some sisters, some mothers around you that you know are refreshing other people, and maybe they could be refreshed. Another strategy to struggle well, maybe like me, which I'm certainly going to do, appeal to your kids' hearts when it's appropriate instead of just walking around commanding all the time. Another strategy to struggle well, in verse 11, formerly he was useless, but now he is useful. Pray that God would make you useful. Ask that he remove things in your life that make you not useful. And then finally, at the end, he's asking, please receive him as you would receive me. Who do you need to receive back into your life? Because you've just been wronged by them. Onesimus did the wrong thing. And who do you need to look past that, forgive them the way you've been forgiven? Or conversely, how could you be like Paul in this situation and help, even at great inconvenience to yourself, help restore a relationship between two other people? And I'm not talking about be codependent or, you know, post bail for a bunch of people in jail. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, what can you do appropriately that would facilitate restoration? Because we are called to be peacemakers and restore as people of Christ. That should be things. We should leave things better than we found them. And historically, the church has not always done a great job doing that. So it needs to start with us, guys, ladies, mamas. All right. Well, that's all I got. Thanks for listening to this random first, and maybe there'll be more editions of Emily talking to herself in her closet. I hope this was useful to you. I'm like amazed at how much was in this couple verses. So way to go, God. You're good at writing the Bible. Talk to you guys soon.